to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson, and y'all, I'm so excited for you to meet this friend today. This is Tim Lampard. Some of you probably know him. Been at Sagemont. How long have you been at Sagemont?
We joined Sagemont in 2012.
Okay.
So about 13 years.
About 13 years. But very recently, April 2025, came on staff here at Sagemont. And so I wanted Tim to come hang out so y'all could get to know him. Because like I said, he and his family have been at Sagemont for a while. You probably know of one of the kids or his wife or somebody. We'll dig into that. But he's here on staff with us since April and is our, we were just talking about his title. Let me see if I get it right. Executive Director of Administration and Operations.
That's it.
Yes.
You nailed it.
It's practice. It's long. And when you have a long title like that, it means you're over many areas.
Yeah. When you're signing documents and you have to write that title out.
Oh, man, you need a stamp.
You really need to abbreviate
you
it.
Do you do. Somehow abbreviate that. I will tell you, it was one Sunday. You had gotten the job, but it wasn't out. Like, you had the job, but we hadn't, like, announced it to everybody. And your sweet wife, who is Heather Lampard, which some of you, I know you know Heather, beautiful red hair, just one of my favorite people. Because every time I see her, she goes, "Hey, beautiful." I mean, she's just the sweetest, most precious. She came up to me and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know Tim got a job." And I said, "No way, that's awesome. I'm so glad. What's he doing?" And she said, "He's going to be the executive administrator." And I said, "Where?" She goes, "Here." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." I was so excited. And I literally looked at her and said, "How did we, Sagemont, not think about that sooner?" Because you, in my humble opinion, have the skill sets that's just like the perfect peg in the perfect hole for this job. And I hope you've been feeling that. I know it's a big job.
Yeah, and it's been interesting. It's funny sometimes, you know, we don't see God working leading up to things. And
yes.
Then we look back and we go, "Oh, wait a minute. That makes so much sense. Now I see why he was doing all these things leading up to this." But, you know, those things lay out over a period of sometimes years
and
decades.
Right.
And you wonder, hey, what's God doing and why is he
doing
this?
How is this happening? Absolutely. And we have to, that's when you're walking by faith.
Yeah.
And trusting. And then when you do get to look back, it's like, man, don't ever take for granted the fact that he gives us the ability to look back and see his handiwork in our lives.
Yeah.
I love getting to see that. Okay. So share a little bit. First of all, let's just go way back. Salvation story. Where did you grow up? Tell us all just a little bit about yourself.
So I grew up in mostly in Michigan.
Really?
And okay. Sometime in Washington State as well.
Beautiful.
My family was in construction, and my dad moved down in 1986 to Texas to work on the South Texas nuclear project with Bechtel Corporation.
Fine.
And so that brought me down to Texas as a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
And so I finished high school down at Brazoswood in Lake Jackson, Texas. But from a salvation perspective, I was saved at a very young age. Mm-hmm. So young, in fact, that I had a hard time remembering it. And I think as I grew up, it caused me to wrestle a lot mm-hmm. with, you know, the security of my salvation. And I was sharing with some folks that over the years, because of that, I feel like I asked Jesus into my heart maybe 100 times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. but something just wasn't clicking there. And in the summer between my junior and senior year, I was still wrestling with that. Mm-hmm. One Sunday, I said, "I've just got to get this straightened out." And I went down and I talked with the pastor of our church, John Hatch, down at First Baptist Lake Jackson. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Hey, I just feel like I need to pray with you as a minister mm-hmm. about this." And so we did, and I never doubted since then. I don't know what God did at that point, mm-hmm. but it was really a changing point. And I think, you know, later I came to understand that true faith is not a faith that doesn't doubt. It's a faith that perseveres. And I think that's what I saw over the years was, you know, my desire for Christ just, mm-hmm. you know, didn't let go. Yeah.
I think that's such an important story for people to hear, because I have a very similar experience. And it was one of those when I was in at A&M in college where I said, I've got to stop every time I'm somewhere where there is a offer of salvation going, is that me? Am I good? What am I doing? You know, and it was one of those where I did just, and I did, I talked to somebody else and said, this is where I'm struggling. And there were certain things they said that, and here's the crazy thing. I don't know if this is true for you. It didn't make those doubts not come in. It made me be able to go, I've done that.
Right.
So it still would be the, hey, have you taken, yep. I've done that. And as the more and more I was able to say, no, I know, the less that came. And so I think it's so important because we do have so many kids, young people that come to faith at a young age and then struggle. And then for some reason they feel like they shouldn't be able, they feel guilty that they're struggling and they don't say anything. And I think that causes such problems. So
yeah, and I think that the enemy can use that to stop us from making progress in our walk. Because once I had that confidence, it gave me a freedom to just start saying, okay, God, what's next?
I love that. That's awesome.
And
that's cool.
And yeah, obviously he's had a lot in store.
Yeah. Okay. So where'd you go to college?
So I started at University of Texas for 4.5 years.
That's okay.
Studied business there.
Yeah.
End up going into construction, which really didn't line up as well with that as I would have liked. So I went back to night school.
Really?
Got another degree from U of H in construction management.
Okay. All right.
And so that kind of lined up with what I was doing because I had gotten into construction at the time.
Okay. Still down here.
Yep.
You stayed in the area. Yep. Where did you and Heather meet?
So Heather and I met at First Baptist Lake Jackson.
Oh, okay.
I was in between Texas and U of H going to the singles college and career group.
Okay.
And she came down from ETBU for Christmas, and we met at a Christmas caroling event that, surprisingly enough, we were the only two people that showed up with.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the leaders were there, but it was just Heather and I. And I was like,
that's hysterical.
Is this what God needed to do, right? You know, to get my attention? That's kind of strange.
That's how straightforward he had to
Heather
be.
And Heather would tell you that, yeah, and you still didn't talk to me for half of the event, right?
I'm the only person in the room, and you still didn't talk to me. Yeah. That's so funny.
Just nervousness because, you know, she seemed like she was so far above my level, right?
She's an amazing.
Yes, she is.
She's an amazing lady. She really is. So how long did y'all date before you got married?
So that was in December, January. She went back to school. We got engaged that August.
Okay.
I tried to talk her dad and let me marry her in December, but he wouldn't have any of that.
Okay.
Right. It was going to be once she graduated in May.
Okay.
So
okay.
June 10th.
As soon as, there
we
you
got
go.
Married, June 10th.
That's fabulous.
1995.
I was going to say, okay, how long?
So we're coming up on our 30th.
Good for y'all.
June of this year. So we're pretty excited about that.
That's amazing. And so y'all have always lived in the Houston area since you got married. You have 7 children.
Yes.
So fabulous. They're all great. How old?
So my oldest is 27 now.
Okay.
And then Hope is just about to turn 17.
Okay. So in a span of 10 years, they're not like super spread apart.
No. And no twins.
And
so it's, it was pretty hairy for a while.
I'm saying, that's right. When you have 7 under 10, that's a...
Yeah. And when I say pretty hairy for a while, it's like pretty hairy for like 20 years.
Still. Listen, I know, and you're doing this, adult kids, parenting adult children is a whole different caliber of parenting.
Yeah, we've definitely learned that parenting doesn't stop when they turn 18, right? It just kind of comes into a new phase.
That's right. It changes.
Which has actually been, you know, pretty interesting and fun.
I've
enjoyed
loved it. It's been super. I mean, you listen, it's crazy, but it's been, I think, a really sweet time for us, me and my family with parenting adult kids has been very interesting, but it's been fun.
Yeah, it is.
Now, are all of your kids here, like locally? Do they live locally?
So my oldest son just came back from Phoenix. He'd been working out of town for quite a while.
I was going to say, I thought one of them was off.
And then
I can't remember.
Noah, who got married last year, he's our only married one.
Fine.
He is working in Austin.
Okay.
So he's our only out of towner, except for my youngest son, who's at A&M.
There you go. And, good choices. That's awesome.
He's a freshman at A&M this year.
Okay.
So.
That's so great. And your kids are similar ages to mine. And so I've always seen them at church and doing the thing and all of that. So they've grown up with the Lord and are just such good kids. They're really, really sweet kids.
Yeah, we're pretty proud of them.
I love it. Okay, so then when did you decide to go to seminary? How did that happen?
Well, in 2005, Heather and I felt like God was calling us into missions. And so we started making application with the IMB.
Really? Okay. How many kids did you have at this point?
We had five at that point.
Okay.
And as far as we knew, the only restriction was no teenagers, which our oldest was like 8 or 9 at the time. So it was like, okay, well, this is going to be fine for us. And so we start working through that process, which can be a pretty long process.
Yes.
And one of the things we learned early on is that if we wanted to get reappointed to a second term, we needed to have 20 hours of seminary.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, there's an extension campus at Park Place where we were currently attending church.
Okay.
So it's like, hey, this is an easy fit. Let's just jump in and start going to seminary.
Yeah.
So I started in seminary in 2005 and just doing it at night. And we tried a weekend stint. That didn't work as well. But so mostly just at night, taking one or two classes a semester. And fast forward a little bit, in 2007, we found out in a meeting with a strategy coordinator over in Europe that they were never going to appoint us because we had too many kids. At that time, we now had 6.
Okay.
And he said, it creates a lot of hardship on the field. And so, you know, I think at that point, Heather and I had to look and say, okay, we know God's called us to some sort of ministry, right? We just need to relook at how he's called us and what that's going to look like. And so we really didn't doubt the calling. It was just, hey, how is God going to outwork this calling?
Yeah.
But I had fallen in love with seminary at that point.
Okay.
I was experiencing all these relationships with, you know, people who were in a similar, you know, point, trying to understand God's calling in their life, interacting with these professors. And it was like, it was kind of like, Christianity at another level.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you know, encouraging one another to love and good works. And being that I was so engaged in the secular world and in my other life, which is a little bit of a different, you know, Christian walk, right? It's kind of like, growing with Christ through a little bit of suffering and persecution. So, I really enjoyed that experience.
That's
so
awesome.
I just never stopped going.
Okay.
And 15 years later, I finally had a seminary degree.
Good for you. That's amazing.
So I may be one of the longest.
I bet
longest term people, but 15 years was a long time. Yeah.
That's fabulous. I love that you did that. And I've known Heather for a while through women's Bible studies and different women's stuff. I met you because you were a, back in the day, iConnect, teacher.
Right.
And you are so passionate about God's word and people knowing his word and falling in love with him. And I've seen that there. But I'm sure going through seminary just lit that fire more and more.
It really did.
Yeah. To be able to get to teach and do that. So that was, some of you might be, I think I was in his class at some point. Yes. You might have sat under Tim's teaching for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so April comes, well, probably February or March for you. Who knows when they started talking to you? I don't know. Sagemont.
So I actually started talking with Dave last fall.
Okay.
We met, under, just to talk about some deacon business and some financial things. And after my conversation had ended with him and he had gotten to know me a little bit better, he said, hey, do you mind if I ask you about something else? I said, sure. And so he talked to me about this role at the church.
Yeah.
And my initial impression was, you know, when he asked about giving my information to the personnel committee or taking another step was no.
Right.
I mean, at this point, I had just felt like I had wrestled through God's calling, and it didn't look like full-time ministry. It looked like, you know, bivocational ministry and serving as a connect leader and doing mission, short-term mission work and pastoring a house church and things of that nature. And so, this was the last thing I saw God calling me to. But I did tell Dave at that time, I said, you know, God already has my yes for whatever he wants me to do. So let me pray about this. And so after praying about it for a couple of months, and Dave pinged me a couple of times, I said, you know, I think I need to find out a little bit more. God's not closing this door. Yeah. And so let's see what he's got here.
I love that, because Dave Watson, who was interim for a season and then was not interim in mm-hmm. the position you're in, but knew he wanted to step away. Like he had gotten, he was like, I know I want to retire. I know I want to step yeah. away. Cause he really just stepped in the gap for Sagemont and it turned yeah, into a much was, bigger I thing.
This was like the third or fourth time he had retired. Right?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Under his family was like, we're not throwing you any more retirement parties. Kind of one of those, you know, that they've done. He had done it for many things over the years. And, but he also, he, is just, because I've seen him do it here and other places, he doesn't like to leave a spot
right
not taken care of.
Right.
He loves to be able to walk away and go, they're good. I've set them up for success.
Yeah.
And so he was very purposeful in looking for someone that could step in and take his spot. And like I said, when Heather told me, I was like, how did we not think of Tim? And so I love that Dave did think of you because you are extremely successful businessman that has done all the things that come with business and looking at all the different things. But then you have this heart for ministry and it's not a all the time thing that those two things are in the same person. And so you're such a great, it's neat because you can come in and you can see, hey, are we, you know, taking care of the air conditioners before July? Are we right. making sure that our finances are where they need to be and all the checks and balances? But then you do it from such a heart of for ministry and realizing, hey, this church is a business, but it's a church.
Right.
And so I love that you can do that. In just a couple of months that you've been here, mm-hmm. Have you felt the Lord using your gifts to serve in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have to say, Dave put us, the whole church, really in a really good spot to
Amen.
Be successful,
yes,
right? To take it to another level and
yep.
and really challenged me with that, which kind of sets a high bar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very excited. You know, I kind of thrive on challenges and
nice.
There's a lot of challenges,
there are.
You know, because of what God's doing at Sagemont.
That's right.
I mean, there's some really exciting things going
mm-hmm.
on here. And so... Yeah, I think I'm going to fit in well. And like I alluded to at the beginning of our talk, you know, now you look back and you say, wow, all this experience God gave me in estimating projects and engineering projects and managing things and overseeing operations for a branch or for a region, all the personnel things yeah. and legalese. And now it's like, wow, it's all kind of in a nice little bow. And God just moved me over here.
Isn't that the
and
best?
Says, hey, I just want you to use this in a different way for the kingdom.
Yeah, I love it so much. So in the seat you're in, you're over all of our financial team.
Mm-hmm.
So our accountants and accounts payable and all that stuff. Great
right.
group of people that are doing that. You're also over security.
Right.
And all the things going on with security, which thank goodness Sagemont takes very seriously and does such a good job.
Yeah, we really do.
Such a good job with that. It's a huge blessing. Operations, which is, some of you probably don't know Tony, but he's just fabulous. He does such a good job taking care of the things that are going on around the church. And then ABS.
Right.
ABS is our system that, I mean, the group that we
handles
contract
all the
with.
Yes, and
all the
set
janitorial.
Up and tear down of
yes.
all these events.
They do such a good job. It's a huge facility with stuff going on every single day, and they do an amazing job. I'm trying to think who. Our data management system. So when you're able to go in and register or you set up your different things inside of our system, you're over the lady who takes care of all of that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And so it's your hands in a lot of different things.
Yeah. And then you got IT,
yes.
Danbury, the cafe, the library. There's
look at the list.
A couple hundred volunteers also
yes.
that report up through a lot of those different team members.
Absolutely.
We've got an incredible group of volunteers at
yeah.
Sagemont. It's hard to believe just how much of a heart. In fact, I'll just share one little story. When
yeah.
Dave was transitioning me, we went down to Danbury to meet mm-hmm. the volunteers that work down there. And he said, I just think it's important that you get to know these
yeah.
people. And as we were driving away from Danbury, I looked over at Dave and I said, Dave, this isn't a group of volunteers. This is like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
These guys, they like to do work for the church, but these guys love each other as well. Yeah. I mean, they pray for each other. They study together. It's amazing how we do volunteer work at this church. And you can take it to, you know, beyond just the level of just serving, right?
It should become
mm-hmm. you know, a brotherhood or a sisterhood, right?
That's
a community.
That's right. We say all the time that so often the way people connect at Sagemont's through serving.
Yeah.
You find your people, you get who you're hanging out with and all that, who's going to pray for you and who you're praying for. It's through serving. Yeah. And that's the really neat thing is if you've been at Sagemont the last, you know, few months or whatever, really forever, but specifically the last few months, we've really been asking people, you know, hey, take your next step in serving. Where are you serving? You know, where can you use the gifts that God's given you for the kingdom? And it's been so fun to watch people get plugged in.
Right.
And start serving. And then you get to hear how excited they are about it. And the neat thing is there is, and we say this, but it's really true. There is a spot for everybody.
There sure is. That's
and
right.
It's so cool. You know, from Tuesday mornings at Danbury, go down and mow in the gorgeousness of Danbury. Come on Saturday mornings and mow if you want to be outside. The parking team, if you want to rock babies, say hello to. I mean, there's just
serving the cafe,
yes,
the library, you know,
so
you
many
it.
Different
there's
things.
Parking lot. There's so many things to do, and you're right. You know, God puts in our spiritual DNA, mm-hmm. you know, a gift for us to use, and I don't think we experience the fullness of mm-hmm. our journey with Christ until we start pulling on the rope and serving.
Oh, I love that.
And God is then begin using that thing, and it grows us to a new level.
Yeah, it's super fun to get to watch people when their spiritual gift kicks in and they get to go. So you've been on staff for just a couple of months.
Right.
And seeing all kinds of different things. I mean, you were here, we started three services. I mean, there's been lots of things just in the couple of months you've been here. When you look at Sagemont from the seat you sit in, what are some things that get you excited about what God's doing here?
Well, I think the number one thing that gets me excited and really was a lot of the reason for me taking this job, I think, was twofold. One, you know, seeing how God had prepared me for mm-hmm. this. But I think another was, I mean, over the last year, we look at what's going on at Sagemont, right? You know, people that are giving their heart to Christ, mm-hmm. they're getting more engaged, they're taking their next step. And that's a great responsibility for us as a church,
yes.
right? We've got to be a good steward, not just of the material resources God gives us, but the people that
Absolutely.
God's giving us. And so, you know, the idea to be involved in the challenge of integrating those people in the church, the new needs that's going to create for facilities, for serving, for admin and operations.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, God, I can't believe that you would let me serve in this capacity. Yeah. So I really just think observing how God is blessing us, mm-hmm. right? Which is unique. And we want to see that going on. Houston's one of the largest cities in the whole country.
Yep.
So a great opportunity here. And
that's
probably the thing I'm most excited about.
It is super fun.
It
is one of those, I think, for all of us on staff, but even just as people of Sagemont Church, to stop and go, the fact that God's allowed me to be here in this season at this time to watch him do a thing.
Right.
It's just such a cool blessing.
Yeah.
When you really stop and go, oh, this is where you have me right now. And it's very exciting.
Yeah. I think we all want to see God moving in our time. And certainly he does, not just mm-hmm. in our lives, but I mean, in a bigger way, he's really moving in our church.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to be a part of that.
It is. It's super fun. Well, I am super glad that you're here. And I think I think God's going to use you in incredible ways over the years. Like I said, I love your wife, love your kids. They're fabulous. So we're so glad that y'all are continuing, of course, just to be at Sagemont, but that you really are getting to have a hand in it. Listen, guys, if you see Tim in the hallway on a Sunday morning, stop him, tell him thank you. It is a really big job. He's got great people working with him. But y'all, more than anything, pray for Tim, just as he's learning all the things and having to learn a ton of people and how things work, and just that he would have strength and wisdom and endurance and all that that comes with starting any new job. But I love that he knows he can have thousands of people praying for you as you're doing that. And that's how we are the body of Christ. So it is our joy to get to pray for you. And listen, we're all here if you need something.
That's right.
Let us know.
I'm not bashful. I'll ask.
There you go. I love that. I love that. And listen, if you want to get to know Tim, take him to lunch. Call him up. Why not?
Yeah.
Go hang out. Get to know Tim. So thank you for coming today and just sharing.
Thanks, Betsy. It's been fun
to get to hang out. Y'all, thanks for hanging out with us today on Table Talk, and we will see you next time.